morning. Praise God. We get to be in this wonderful warm building. It's cold outside. It's going to get a bit colder. I don't think we've seen this type of temperature in quite a while here in Baton Rouge. But thank God for heaters. Amen. Amen. It's good to be with you this morning. Pastor Lee is ministering in Florida this morning, so we keep him in our prayers. It's an honor for me to be here with you this morning and minister. So many smiling faces this morning. It's exciting to be in a life with Jesus Christ. There's no other greater life that we can live. I know that sometimes we watch the things going on around the world today and what's going on, and I think we talk about it over and over again, but I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful that we can walk with Him this morning and that we can intimately know Him in this hour that we live. Guys, there's a world out there that needs Jesus. And I pray every day that God would fill us all, that we could be the hands and feet in which God has called us to be in this hour. Amen? And I'm thankful for that this morning. I want to talk about Jesus this morning. People always say, what are you going to preach on this morning? I'm going to preach on Jesus. And I pray that the Spirit of God would give us all a greater revelation of Him this morning as we sit up under the authority of His Word. Aren't you glad for the Word of God this morning? The Word of God is a mirror to our life. Amen? It's not a rule book. It's not a book that we grab and we just look at things that are great to live by and try to live by them, because apart from the blood of Jesus, we'll never live by them. We're miserable failures without the power of God. Amen. I want to let you know that one day, very soon, every one of us is going to stand before God, everybody in this room and everybody in this world. And sad to say that God is going to look at every man's life, and two things will come out of the mouth of God. In the face of every human, it'll either be, come in, you good and faithful servant, enter into the rest that I've prepared for you, or depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Now that's a hard saying, and you might say, well, you start your sermon off like that, but I can tell you it's just the truth here this morning if you read the Word of God. There's a world out there that needs to hear, come in and enter into the rest that I've prepared for you, you good and faithful servant. The Bible says that narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. I've pondered on that passage quite a bit, and I'm thinking, really and truly, only a few find it. There's a lot of professing Christians in this world, a lot of people that have said the sinner's prayer, that sit in churches every day. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says in Matthew 7. But it says, those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, those are the ones that enter into the kingdom, those that do the will of the Father. How many of you here this morning know that we cannot do the will of the Father apart from Jesus? We will not do the things of God. We will not know the things of God. We will not know God. A prayer doesn't get you there, because not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, enters into that kingdom. Many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, I said the sinner's prayer 4 or 5 times in my life. I've shadowed the doors of a church quite a few times. Isn't your will, Lord, that we go to church? Isn't it your will, Lord, that we lay hands on the sick? We've done that. Isn't it your will, Lord, that we cast out demons in your name? We're talking about people that go to church. Lord, isn't it your will that we do great and wonderful things for your name's sake? Isn't that your will? And God says, depart from me, for I never knew you. I think the greatest will of the Father is that we know Him. Eternal life is to know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom He sent. I preach this over and over and over again because I believe that God is trying to wake up man in this hour. There's a lot of people that sit in the Bible Belt down here and feel as if they are all right with God because they said a prayer. They said, Lord, Lord. But there's going to be many of people that stand before God and God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I don't believe that God is going to be very angry with a rod, off to hell you go. But I believe that God is going to be weeping when He has to say that, because it's not God's will that any man perish, but come to a place of repentance, meaning turning to this living God who has given his life so that all could live. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus did not leave us in the condition that we're in? And aren't you glad that God has got the same mercy for this world that we live around every day? I'm thankful for the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that he came to me 22 years ago and revealed to me what manner of man that I was and brought me out of darkness into this wonderful life and intimacy with Jesus Christ. I'm in love with him. I remember when I was born again. I never loved God before that. I never sought after God. I never loved people. I was bullied as a kid. I hated people. I fought people all in my teenage years because I was so broke down. I was beaten as a kid by different children in my neighborhood. I was beaten in the school. I was mocked. I was ridiculed. I was the last guy picked for the baseball team, the last guy picked for the football team. Nobody wanted Jeff Lee around. And so I become angry, and I was a murderer at heart. I did not love people. And I was angry with God because, God, why would you allow these things to happen to me? My grandmother would preach Christ to me all the time and love on me continually. And I thank God for my grandmother. Amen. The seeds took good ground there, and God brought an increase to it. And I'm thankful for that this morning. But I was always like, where are you, God? How come you're not with me? How come you allow these things to happen? But I look back now and I understand what God was allowing me to see in my life. There's two people in this world. We're either born of God and we bear the fruit of God, or we're born of Adam and we bear the fruit of Adam. Two ways, that's it. Good tree, bad tree, right? Pharisee, church member, or a lover of God and a lover of people. There's a huge difference between religion and being born of God. There's a huge difference in religion and being born of God. Religion, man is trying to clean himself up. Religion is people that just come to church and do a duty so that God will possibly show me some favor. And I've done it for the week. I did my duty. I came to church. I sung a few songs. I asked God to forgive me for my sins. And off we go. And we live every day as if God doesn't exist. But I love God when I need something. But then I live as if God does not exist. A lot of people do that in this world today. People need to see Jesus. This world is full of hate right now, full of violence, full of sin running rampant in every area. And the way that God is going to reach this world in the hour that we live is the same way that God has reached the world for eternal times. And that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he walked as a man on this earth, was the greatest example of what a man should look like or a woman should look like, human. Everything that he did, his whole life, the fame of Jesus that went out among all the cities. It wasn't how much knowledge he had. It wasn't his big ministry. He was a man full of love and compassion, number one, for his father. And he was a man full of love and compassion, number two, for the men that lived around him, man and woman, because he showed the greatest act of love this world has ever seen. For God so loved the world, right? It was God that loved you. It was God that looked down at you. It was his love for you in the midst of your sin. Not your religious life, not you trying to clean your life up and get a little bit better. And God says, well, Andrew, you're doing a little bit better. I'm going to show my love to you. No. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ came to die for you. No greater love than a man that would lay his life down for another. That's the greatest, one of the greatest passages. No greater love than one that would lay his life down for another. I can tell you, we wouldn't lay our lives down for one another in here. But Jesus did. And to this very day, he still is. And he does it through the church, the believer, the spirit-filled man or woman of God that's full of the Holy Ghost. Because God puts that love within our life and begins to display it to the world around us. Amen? I want you to turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning. We're going to go to the book of John, chapter 17. While you're turning there, I'm going to read this passage out of Mark. We're going to John 17. In Mark chapter 12, it says, "And Jesus answered, he said, 'The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind, and all of your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is likened unto, namely this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There are no greater commandments than these. And everything hangs on these two commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor. To love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself." That is what people are going to see in the born-again believer, the one that has put his faith in Jesus Christ and his spirit has been quickened. I'm not talking about somebody that said a prayer, "Lord, Lord," and begins to go to church. Many will say that and never get into the kingdom. Many will say that and never produce the life of Jesus Christ. It is God's will that man bears much fruit. Those that enter into the kingdom are the ones that do the will of the Father. That word "do" means a practicing lifestyle, a continuous walk, an abiding in the life of God. Doeth, to practice, to do. Those who do the will of the Father, and God's greatest do or will is that you bear much fruit. And fruit of God is not, there again, it's not how much theology that you have. It's not how long you can pray. It's not how much money that you give to missions in the church. That is not the fruit that comes from God. The fruit that comes from God is love. Today is Valentine's Day. We love one another with a phileo type of love. But the love I'm talking about has no conditions attached to it. God is agape love. And that's the love that God wants to produce through your life to the world out there that is so disgusting in some sense. Do you know that we are just like that world, the stench that we see from what we watch on TV, the stench that we see in our workplaces, that we see in other people's lives? We're no different. We're no different. We're born from the same Adam dad. But thanks be to God, amen, we've been taken out of that life and we've been put into a new kingdom. We have new life in us. And this life is going to be manifested to that world out there. That is God's will. My brother Charles was ministering earlier at 9 o'clock, and he was talking about plants, he was talking about trees, and he was talking about fruit that comes from these plants. The Bible says that we are the planted of the Lord. We are the ones that are going to bear the fruit of God in the hour in which we live. So what does that look like? Look at John chapter 17. If you would, start in verse 20. Jesus is in the garden here. He's about to go to the cross. And he's in the garden and he's praying. Three of his disciples are right outside the gate, Peter, James, and John. And he's there praying to his Father. And this is one of the portions of his prayer. It says in verse 20, "Neither pray I these for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." He's prophesying that they are going to go forth with the word of God and that people are going to believe upon Jesus. He says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, you are in me and I are in you, that they may also be one with us. Do you hear how Jesus is saying this? Father, that the ones that would believe would be able to enter into this relationship with us. They would be one with us. And here's the reason. that the world may believe that you have sent me. There's a world out there that needs to believe that God has sent the Son Jesus into this world. Because this world needs to see Jesus. This world needs to know Jesus, right? This is eternal life, that they come to know the one true God. And so for the world to know God, they must believe in God. And it says, if you back up, that the world may believe. That means have faith that God has sent the Son. And in verse 22, it says, in the glory which you gave me, I have given unto them. He's talking about his disciples. That they may be one with us, even as we are one. I and them, and Father, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. Aren't you glad that we're in Christ now, if you're born again, and we're being made perfect in one? Jesus is making us perfect. He is perfecting this life. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. There's a world out there that needs to see the love of God. That world is not so much looking for a fire and brimstone preacher to go shove the gospel down their throat and tell them how bad of a wicked person that they are. Love goes with the truth. This world does need to know how wicked they are. But the Holy Spirit has all of the authority to reveal that to a man. The Holy Spirit has all of the authority through the Word of God to reveal to man what manner of man that he is. There is judgment coming. There is a day of wrath coming. There is a day when all men are going to stand before God and come in, you faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. Those will be said, one or the other, to everybody in this room. Where are you this morning? What will you hear God say unto you? Will he say, come in and enter into the rest, you good and faithful servant? Are you a good and faithful servant unto the Lord? Or do you just do church life? Do you know Jesus intimately, or do you just know about him? You don't have to leave this building the way that you came in here. Aren't you glad for that this morning? That's why God has brought us here, to speak into our life, to reveal things to us, so that we can be free and have this intimate walk with God. Because God loves us, and God cares about us, and he cares about every single heart in here. He cares about all of the needs that you have. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Aren't you glad for that this morning? We don't have to leave here wondering if I'm going to be all right with God when I get to the other side. Because the Spirit of God can quicken you today in one moment. In one moment. What kind of work is he looking from you to believe upon Jesus Christ? He is the righteous one. He is the only one that has fulfilled the will of God perfectly. He is the only one that loves the Father with all his heart, mind, and soul, and loves his neighbor as himself. And we might say, well, I love God. Your proof of your love for God, in whom you can't see, is your proof is how much you love the ones around you. A lot of times we go through life and we love everything but God. We love our fancy cars. We love our golf. We love fishing. We love hunting. We love our friends. We love to go camping and hiking. We love our sports. Whatever you give your life over to, whatever you saturate your life with, whatever's number one on your list, every day when you wake up, this is what you think about. Every night when you go to bed, this is what you think about. Is it God? Or is it the things of this world? And when you look around at this world, do you look at the world with compassion? Do you look at the world the way Jesus sees this world? I'm talking to me this morning. Do I see people? Is there compassion coming from me that wants to run to the lost? That I would get into someone's life, and every day, dear God, would you use me to pour out life some kind of way wherever I go, that men would see you? To be filled with love and compassion? Or do the cares of this world seem to fog us from day to day. God loves you so much. He cares about you so much. He wants you to live a life of excitement every day. There are greater things God wants to do through you in this life. He doesn't want us to be caught up with the affairs of this life in this hour, guys. It's been preached over and over again. There's a greater work that God's trying to do. And He's chosen us to be a part of it. How much greater? Look, I like sports and I love to hunt and fish. I love to go camping. I love going to the beach and I love going to the mountains. But Lord, if you would send me there, I want to go because I want men to see you everywhere my feet travel. I want these arms to be stretched around as many people that you would stretch them around to give life and hope. Because what does it matter if we gain this whole world and lose our soul? What does it matter? We're at a place right now, it's a very critical day that we live. And you might say, well, why do you say that? It's a no-brainer. Right? We can live a joyful life, guys, every single day. There's a world out there that needs to see Jesus. Look at verse 26. And I have declared unto them your name, and I will continue to declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Amen. Jesus, in all of his humility, he stepped out of heaven. Do you know that when we look at this world around us and we see the things that are going on at this hour, sometimes we can be saddened by it. Sometimes we look at the people on TV that are in authority and we become a little bit frustrated and angry. Whether it's a left or a right or whether it's whatever and whatever, sometimes we begin to look at the things that are happening and go, man, I can't believe that's happening. And we just want to reach through the TV and just choke whatever's in there. At least I do. Do you know that when Jesus looked down from heaven, he was looking at you and I as if we were to look through a television. And God said, you know what? I see Jeff Lee and all of his sin, but I love him. And the only way that I can go and rescue him is to go give my life. And so God stepped out of heaven in all of his humility to come here and to die on a cross for me and for you so that you could live, so that you could have this intimacy with God, so that you can walk with him in a joyful relationship and have abundant life even this very day. And that God would work through your life to love so that all of the will of God would be done through your life in every aspect the Bible teaches so that you could hear those wonderful words one day because of the blood of Jesus, enter into the rest that I've prepared for you. How many of you this morning would want to be a good and faithful servant? How many of you this morning would say, I want to hear those words? Because I sure don't want to hear the other words. It's going to happen. Could it be today? Could your life end today? Could Jesus come back today? There's nothing holding him back. It's a sobering thought, really, if you think about it. It's almost sad because I know a lot of people that sit like that, thinking everything's all right. You have family that's like that. Maybe moms, dads. It's a scary thought, isn't it? It's sobering. It really is. This is real. I'm quoting scripture this morning. First John chapter 4, if you'd turn there. The Bible says in Romans 5 that when we're born again, that God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live in your life. Father, as you and I are one, so shall they and you and I be as one. When you see your need for Jesus Christ to save you, because everybody in here needs a Savior. Well, I can tell you there's only one. His name is Jesus. And I need Him desperately. I will not make it without Him. Everyone in this room that have been quickened, you knew your life without Him. For those of you in this room that are not quickened, you know your life without Him. Is He your life? Do you love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Jesus rose from the grave to give everyone life. And for all that would believe upon Him would have this life. We hear this over and over and over again. And I will forever bring you in remembrance of this over and over and over again. You know why? Because Jesus said it over and over and over again. You know why? Because we need to hear it over and over and over again. You know why? Because sometimes we forget. So God speaks it again, over and over again. Why? Because He loves us. Paul said, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith or not. Peter said, I will forever stir this up in your remembrance over and over again. Because some people sit and think everything's okay and their life is not manifesting loving God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and not manifesting loving their neighbor as their self. Because if you love God, you're going to love people. Fact. Scripture. Truth. Amen? You're going to love people. 1 John 4 says this in verse 7. We're in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God. Are y'all reading that with me? Everybody got that? Verse 7, 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love, or for God is love. And for everyone that loves is born of God. And knows God. Fact. Everyone that loves is born of God. He that loves not, verse 8. He that loves not knows not God. That word knows not God. You remember in Matthew 7, depart from me, I never knew you. If you don't love, then you know not God. You have no relationship with Him. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. God is agape love. This is for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son no greater love than one that would lay His life down for another. This is agape love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son Jesus into the world that we might live through Him. Guys, that is good news. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us. Nobody in here loves God like God wants us to love Him. And when God looks down at our life, He knows we can't love Him right. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He sent Jesus to forgive us of our sin. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit to come reside in me, so that I would love God above everything. And I would love people above everything else. This is the two greatest commandments, and everything hinges on that. It's love, guys. It's the love of God. Herein is love, verse 10. Not that we love God, but that He loved us first and sent His only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, what does it say? We ought also to love one another. This is a command of God's word. If God so loved you and gave His life for you and lays His life down for you and forgives you and has compassion upon you and mercy upon you and long-suffering upon you and dispels peace and joy and gentleness and self-control, this is what God does towards you. So God wants to do that towards you, and then he wants to produce that through you so that the world can see love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, meekness, self-control, temperance, humility, faith, hope. This is what the love of God produces. I'm so thankful for Jesus this morning. Amen. Listen, verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is being perfected in us. Aren't you glad for that, believers, this morning? God is perfecting his love. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God has to us, listen, God is love. And he that dwells, that word dwells means remaining, to set camp, to stay with. He that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. So when you're born again, God puts his love in you. Amen? So if you're a born again believer this morning, God has sent the Holy Spirit to come reside in your life. And God is love. And he sheds that love abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost the day that you're born again. Aren't you glad for that this morning? And then God gives you the ability by his power to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we know that we don't do that perfectly, right? But if we dwell in God, and God dwells in us, then he is perfecting that love in us. Aren't you glad? There's hope for me. Amen? There's hope for us this morning that God is perfecting this love in our life. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That we, when we stand before God, enter into the rest that I prepared for you, you good and faithful servant. We can have boldness in that day. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has washed me clean. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus has the power to save Jeff Lee from his sin. I have to believe the power of God has risen Jesus from the dead and that he sits at the right hand of the Father. And anyone that would call on him, if I can just believe for Jesus to save me, I can't save myself. Church can't save me. Bible studies can't save me. Theological colleges can't save me. Wonderful church buildings can't save me. Me praying a few times a week can't save me. Me asking God to forgive me and say a sinner's prayer, that's not going to save me. The mouth confesses, but the heart believes unto salvation. And when that happens, God puts his love in us, and then he begins to perfect this love through my life, that I may have boldness in the day of judgment. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Hallelujah. There's no fear in love. And when I get to walk through this world fearlessly, everyone's going to see the love of God in me. Why? Because God's perfect love casts out all fear. I don't have to walk through this world fearing. When I watch TV, I don't have to fear anything that I see. Greater is he that lives in me. If God is for me, who can be against us? Amen? There's no weapon formed against you that'll prosper in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He's our rock, our refuge, our friend. Amen? We win. Amen? We win. Hallelujah. We win. The born-again believer wins. And we get to walk in victory. We get to walk in this world full of joy and expectancy. And to know that when Jesus comes, I will be caught up with him. I will stand before the Father. He will say, come in and enter into the rest that I prepared for you. Who is that good and faithful servant? It's Jesus Christ. Amen? Because I can do nothing apart from him. I will not produce the love of God apart from him. Why? Because God is love. God is love. And God is perfecting this love in all of us. Thank God for the perfecting of the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad for the sanctification of God? Aren't you glad for the Word of God that's a mirror to my life so I can see what manner of man, and I can see Jesus in all of His fullness? The Holy Spirit gives us a revelation of how beautiful Jesus is and how I need to be so much more like Jesus, because I'm not like Him. But I can tell you I'm not what I was 10 years ago. God is sanctifying this boy every day. He's changing my thoughts. He's changing my heart. He's changing my eyes so that when I look at people, I look at them with compassion. And my heart is broken. Instead of me wanting to put a fist through somebody's head, I want to wrap my arms around them and love them all the way to Jesus. Amen? Aren't you glad He's doing that in your life today? Aren't you thankful for the mercy and grace of God? Aren't you glad that He's made the way for us to live? Guys, this is the greatest news this world could ever hear. And if you're born again here this morning, this is our life. This is the hope that we have. The abundant life that we get to live, that we get to take to this world every day. We don't have to live in misery or fear because God dwells in us and we dwell in God. Fear has torment. He that fears is not being made, has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Listen to this, verse 20. If a man says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother, in whom he can see, if he sees his brother whom he can see, how can he love God whom he can't see? And this is the commandment that we have of Him. He that loves God also loves his brother. Amen? So what is God saying to us this morning? We must love. Because the greatest attribute that you'll see in a child of God is love. It's not how good you preach. It's not how good you sing. It's not how many mission trips you've done. It's not about how beautiful your church building is. It's not about how much theology that you have. Doesn't matter how good of a Sunday school teacher you are. You may have faith that can move mountains. The most eloquent speakers on this planet. But without love, what does it profit? And guys, if I can just be real, there's a lot of that in the world today. There's a lot of that in the United States of America. A lot of people that can do a lot of things. I'm going to be honest and raw with you this morning because I'm out on the streets all the time and I run through this world constantly talking to people. And I have heard people say over and over again, and this is a shame, I've heard people say Christians are some of the meanest people I ever met in my life. And I'm a Christian talking to them, so I get thrown in the same bag, right? Why are so many people saying that? I'm just being real with you. I hear it. I mean, however you want to take it, that's what I hear. Anybody else in here heard that before? I met them Christian people. They're some of the meanest people I ever met in my life. I spent years in the barroom never seeing people that mean. I talked to them on airplanes. I talked to them in buses, restaurants, coffee shops, hospital, all the time. And I began to weep on the inside and thinking, dear God, what's happened? You know what God said to me? There's a lot of people that say, Lord, Lord, and put the label of Christian because I believe in God. I believe Jesus exists. I go to church every so often. Mean, just on the inside. Don't care about people, only care about themselves. Which is how we are without Jesus, right? There's a lot of people that sit that way, guys. I'm broken in my spirit this morning just thinking about it. There's hope. Sometimes we look out and go, man, is there any hope for that? Yeah, there is. Is there hope for me? Yeah, there is. And it's easy to say Jesus is the answer.
for the world today. Hallelujah. He is. How many people actually go after him? Sobering, isn't it? I'm broken. Please don't be one of those people. We really need Jesus so bad. We really need him. His sobering is really going to happen. If Jeff Lee would have died 25 years ago, I'd have been one of them to say, well, Lord, I wasn't that bad of a guy. I mean, I didn't go to church much, but there's people worse than me, right, God? I mean, I've never been to prison. I've never killed nobody. And God would have looked at me and said, I came to you so many times, and you rejected me over and over again because you loved your sin. You loved your beer. You loved your partying. You loved to lie and steal. You loved your sin. I ran from God so much. But I'm thankful that God didn't let me go. I'm thankful to be alive today. I'm thankful to have life today. And I'm thankful because I will hear those words. Come in, you good and faithful servant. Because Jesus lives in me. He resides in this tabernacle. Because I would never love God without him. And I would never love people without him. But I'm thankful for him. First Corinthians 13 says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and I can understand all mysteries, we're talking about church people here, all knowledge. Though I have faith, I can move mountains. Have not love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. I'm going to read something someone sent me this morning, a dear friend of mine. This is 1 Corinthians 13. Amplified, listen. Love is large and incredibly patient. Incredibly patient. I lack there. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all people. I lack there. Love refuses to be jealous when a blessing comes to someone else. I fall short there. Love doesn't brag about one's achievements, nor inflates its own importance. I'll fall short there. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seeks its own. I'll fall short there. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. I'll fall short. Love joyfully celebrates honesty, finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. I'll fall short. Love takes no failure and defeat. And love never gives up on people. I'll fall short there. I need the love of God perfected in me. We need God's love to be perfected in us. Because who could produce this life without Jesus? Who came and displayed the greatest act of love this world's ever seen? I fall short. I fall short. Love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Somebody smacks you in the face, give them the other side. Someone steals something, give them something else. If a man asks of you of something, go ahead and give it to him. And don't ask for nothing back. As you would that men would do unto you, do also likewise unto them. For if you love them which love you, how are we any different from the world? For sinners do the same thing. And if you do good to them which do good to you, how are you any different? The world does the same thing. And if you give something to someone hoping to receive something back, how are we any different? The world does the same thing. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Who in here can do that? Think about the enemies in your life right now. People that are out to get you. People that are backbiting and trying to stab you in the back and rob you. People that slander you. People that talk bad about you. People that gossip about you. People that hate you. Love your enemies. How? How without God? How do we do that? Do good and lend, hoping for nothing back. And your reward shall be great in heaven. You shall be called the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is merciful. I say this all the time because I think about Jesus and all of his love. He had 12 disciples. One of those disciples was a devil from the beginning, according to the scripture. His name was Judas. There's always a Judas in your life. But at that Last Supper, Jesus got up from the table and he washed every single foot of all of those men, including Judas. The one that was about to hang him out to dry. He loved him as much as he loved the rest of them. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, about to give his last breath, for 6 hours he hung on the cross bleeding, beaten uncontrollably, cursed at. All of his clothes were ripped from his body. His skin was being ripped from his body. His hair being ripped from his body. A crown of thorns shoved upon his brow. The mocking, the ridicules, the hatred, the racism. He was a Jew. Everything you see in this world today was being done towards Jesus. Everything we see in this world today is being done among us. We want to fight back. We want to put people in their place. We want to speak what we think is right. Jesus never opened his mouth. He could have easily said, oh, you wait till I get down from here. About 2 more hours and you're going to be in bad shape. No. What did he do? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's a love that I want to come out of my life every single day. no matter what comes against us. And guys, we cannot produce that life on our own. We cannot. I'm here to tell you today, we cannot. I am falling guilty. But I do know this. I do know that I'm a born-again man of God. I do know that my spirit has been quickened, and I do know that God's love is in me. And I do know that God is perfecting that love in me. And if you're born again here, the Spirit of God has bore witness with you. You say, well, how will I know that? Well, you'll start loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You'll begin to love your neighbor as yourself. Old things will begin to pass away, and all things will become new. There'll be joy in your life, hope in your life, faith in your life. You'll start loving other people. My wife grew up a very religious lady, goody two-shoes. Ain't she precious? Everybody loves Tammy. I know I do. She's my Valentine. And I love her. And everybody's looking at you. Hallelujah. Aaron's like, please don't do that, Dad. She grew up in church. Every time the doors open, youth camp, Christian music, never born again. After I got saved, Tammy came into the room and said, something's happened to you, Jeff. I said, what do you mean? She said, you're not the man that I married. I said, well, what do you mean? Yes, I am. Here I am. She said, no, you're different. I said, what do you mean? She said, you love God. You've never expressed a love for God your whole life that I've known you. We've been married 7 years at this point. You love to read His Word. You love going to church. You're loving on people. You love me. You're showing compassion to me that I've never seen come out of your life. She said, something's happened to you. You're different. And I love it. She just began to weep. She said, I feel loved for the first time. I've been married to you nearly 7 years. And I've never felt love come like I'm feeling right now. She said, whatever God's done in you, I want Him to do that in me. She says, I don't think I've ever been born again, but I do want to be. I want God to change me today. I want God to forgive me today. I want God to come and live in my life. It calls me to love Him like I'm watching you love Him. Guys, could anything greater be said to you? Could anything greater if someone would come and say, you love God. I've been working with you for a while, but I see the love of God in you. I used to be a landscape contractor, a designer for 23 years. I used to have men come to me, and I give God the glory for this. And they would say, something's different about you. You're always talking to people. You're always loving on people. What is it about your life? I said, I love God. I love people. And guys, I could not say that 22, 23 years ago. Because I didn't love God and I didn't love people. But I'm so glad that God has done that in my life. Amen? Maybe that's a similar testimony for you. Or maybe it's not. Maybe today you would say, well, I want this love to be in my life. I want to love God with all my heart, mind, and soul. You know, you don't have to leave here without knowing that today. God wants to save you today. And I know sometimes in our prideful thing, we're like, yeah, you know, I've done that. I talked to somebody the other day, said, yeah, I prayed for the Lord to save me 3 or 4 times, and couple of times after that, I just went and smoked a blunt. What makes it different? Is it the prayer that does it? It's all about your heart. Do I want God? Do I really want to be saved, or am I just looking for a ticket to heaven so I can continue to live? God knows your heart. God knew why that individual came to him. They were just looking for a seek to save their own life so they would lose it, right? Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain eternal life. Amen? Guys, that's good news. How do I do that? How do I get things right with God? Believe. Call upon him. Go after him. Turn to Jesus Christ and say, God, forgive me. Save me. Have mercy on me. Put this love in my heart that's being spoke of from your word. Shed it abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit so that I can obey the two greatest commandments of this book. And that's all that really matters, because everything comes out of love. For God so loved this world. He loved you. He gave his life for you. And if anyone would believe upon him, they shall have eternal life. Guys, that is the greatest news that you or this entire world could hear. I beg you and I beseech you, as a friend and a minister, however you want to label me in your life, please, please examine your soul. Examine your life before God. Am I right with God? Do I really know him? Do I really know him? And if you know that you know him and the Spirit of God has borne witness with you, then I'm going to give you one last scripture that's going to make you smile really big. Amen? Don't you love Jesus this morning? By this you shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love one for another. This world is going to know that you're a disciple of Jesus by your love. By your love one for another. Because if you love one another, that shows that you love God. Because how can you love God in whom you can't see if you can't love those around you that you can see? So here's the exciting passage of Scripture that gives everybody in this room hope. Y'all ready? John 15. Verse 4, if you want to turn there, you can, or I'll just read through it right quick. Our praise team's going to come, and we're going to worship God for a moment. John 15, verse 4, says Jesus speaking, and it gives hope to everyone in this room. It says, abide in me. That means to remain in Jesus Christ. Believer, this morning I'm talking to you. Abide in Jesus Christ, and I in you. For the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Can it, Charles? It just can't. He talked about it this morning. Except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. So he's saying to us this morning, hey, sheep, if you belong to me, you hear my voice. My sheep hear me. Listen to the shepherd speak to you this morning. Remain in me. Remain in me, and I in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. That's love. For without me you can do absolutely nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather it up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Yes, that means what it says. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's love. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Isn't that wonderful? My Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy, amen, that was the smile, I love it, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. He's saying to my sheep this morning, listen, that you love one another as I have loved you. No greater love has no man than this, that he would lay his life down for his friends. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. These altars are open. I want this morning for God to pour out a fresh filling of his Spirit upon my life, to fill me full of love and compassion like I've never had before. Maybe you're here today and you might say, well, I don't know if I'm born of God. I don't know if I'm really in a relationship with him. I've said a prayer 4 or 5 times, but I'm just not sure. Just surrender today. God's just looking for your heart to call upon his name. Anyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, have mercy on me today. Fill me, Jesus. Can you just tell him this morning, Lord, fill me. Baptize me in this love. That God, I may love you above everything in this life. And that, Lord, you would love through me to this world.